Today's guest needs absolutely no introduction. 8 Junos, Canada Walk of Fame star, 21 albums, doctorate, Order of Canada, an incredible career of highlights, one of the top-selling artists in Canada of all time, coming to town, joining a pretty stellar lineup for a great cause on November 11th, Mr. Tom Cocker and Dante, and welcome to 89.3 The Raven, Tom.
Hey, buddy. It's so good to be on the air with you, and thanks for the support. You know, it's always such a pleasure coming to Edmonton. It's my... You know, home away from home, it's my home, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
That town and that city, amazing music city, and has supported me right from the beginning, so it's always a pleasure coming back.
Awesome. Now, first off, before I get to some questions I've always wanted to ask, let's talk about what's actually bringing you back to Edmonton here. The evening is given back to Farm Fair International. You're Manitoba-born, but mostly raised in Ontario. Has farm life and what our farmers do always been something that's important to Tom?
Yeah, very much so. I mean, they're kind of the lifeblood of survival for us. Life in the prairies in particular has really established what we're about as a people and about our resilience and our ability to survive tough times and survive the times that, the harsh winters and the harsh seasons and the different seasons and the incredibly hot summers sometimes. And just the very nature and the culture of the prairies is something that has defined us as a people, as a country, and more than anything else, Bill.
Yeah, no, you've played Edmonton on countless occasions. I've seen you on at least 3 of them. My favorite show was actually with my late mom. I got to see you unplugged in a theater on U of A campus in the second row, and it's still, she's passed on.
Yeah,
at the Meyer Horowitz. It's she's passed on, but that's still, one of my favorite memories of being close to Tom Cochran next to my mom. But I've asked a lot of big names in Canadian music about standout memories in Edmonton, and, maybe not even on stage, maybe a cool place or a moment in time that tends to stick out for Tom when I use the word Edmonton.
Well, there's so many, and there's some I can't really get into, and I've fallen in love there. It's so it's a place of romance for me. I mean, spent so much time pedaling and hiking in the valley there, and it's Edmonton just it's heart and soul. I mean, there's a reason why that city has become such a great sports town and music town over the years, because it's honest, friggin' hardworking Canadians that know how to survive the tough times and come rising up again and keep fighting and keep getting up again off the mat. But, for me, I remember having my heart broken way back, in the early 70s when I was just a kid, just a young, very, very young man. And, my girl was working in at the Appleby in Jasper, and I came through, went to Jasper, and came back kind of licking my wounds because she was seeing somebody else. I've been through times like that. I've been through being an honorary colonel and having the guys and the service people from Cold Lake come down to my shows numerous times, and hosting them, and just so many friends out there. Got so many connections and so much family there. It's just amazing. But it's I remember, I'll tell you, highlight, one of the highlights for me was the night I came in, and I retired Mark Messier, because I had the honor. It just seemed like we were in Edmonton every second week back when the run and gun Oilers were hot, man. I'll tell you. And so we hung out a lot with Kevin Lowe. He's a dear friend, and Coffee. I still play golf with Coff today, and Mark Messier, and we hung together a lot back then, and it seemed like every second week we were in Edmonton. So I had the great honor of playing big league at Mark Messier's retirement party, where they retired his jersey. And the next night, Rascal Flatts were in town. And I'll tell you, it just peaked with Life's a Highway. And it was packed. It was packed. It would have been Rexall Place at that point. And then and they asked me on stage, and I had Mark's jersey. So I went on stage with Messier's jersey. And I'll tell you, the place went nuts. I mean, that roof almost came down because I had Messier's jersey on, and we sung Life's a Highway, and we brought the house down. It was such an amazing evening. And just, on the sides of that, those guys are so gracious. A lot of people say to me, hey, it's too bad Rascal Flatts stole your song. Man, I wish they'd steal a few more, because it's put a lot of tanks of fuel in the old tour bus. So, but at any rate, Edmonton is such an important city to me. One of the greatest records we ever made, one of the huge highlights for me, is the symphony sessions at the Jubilee. And a few years prior to that, the great Procol Harum did an album called Conquistador with the Edmonton Symphony, and a lot of the same players were there when we did it, and we were one of the first artists of the modern era that recorded with an orchestra there. And that to this day is probably the most popular Red Rider record amongst the real Red Rider aficionados and Tom Cochran Red Rider aficionados. And then second would be Songs of a Circling Spirit, which, you know, Billy and I are going out doing an acoustic tour right after the Edmonton show. And I love doing those shows. So it's Edmonton, man, I've got some very, very deep roots and connections there, and it's an important place for me.
Awesome. Yeah, and I heard you, you know, you mentioned your honorary colonel and, you know, and the service. So this show falling on Remembrance Day of all days, do you usually, if something like this falls on a day like that, usually take a moment to do a quick honoring on stage for our soldiers and whatnot?
I mean, after, you know, being an honorary colonel for 6 years, I mean, it's something to me that honors my dad and honors that generation as well as honors the people, you know, and I went to Afghanistan a few times with our troops over there and entertained them. And I have so much respect for those guys and gals, and absolutely we're going to tip our hat to them. When I do, I'm going to have a soft spot in my heart for my dad because, you know, he fought in the Second World War for our freedoms. And it's important to acknowledge that, not just think it's just one more day to have a statute holiday. You know, we have to honor our troops and remember them.
Yeah, and you know, like you know, thanks to your dad and my grandfather too, who also fought in W2. But I want to talk about some of the, you know, the humanitarian causes. You led the way with involvement, World Vision, Amnesty International, World Child. You've lent your voice in support of so many amazing different bodies of work around the globe. Is using your position as an entertainer something that you think about quite often, especially with so many like big conflicts that are going on in the world currently?
Yeah, I, you know, Bill, I've become a little more philosophical about it as I've gotten older. But yeah, as a young boy, I was, you know, gung ho, front line. I still am, but you know, you got to pick your fights. But the point is, and things shouldn't be a fight. We should be living in a world of peace. We are, you know, I always consider myself to be very, very blessed, especially to live in Canada, one of the greatest country in the world, in my estimation. And so to be able to give back and lend my name to stuff through the music, man, it's the least I can do. You know, I often said that the work I did with World Vision, and I picked that organization because they were getting the most amount of money to where it was supposed to get to, and they were so dedicated to the service of the people that they were working for and with in different countries, and whether it was in Africa or whether it was in Asia or whether it was in South America. And I was just very, very impressed with their work ethic and their sense of resolve and their integrity and their faith, which their faith helped motivate them and helps motivate them to this day and helps them generate the kind of energy it takes to do the work that they do. And for me to help out in some small way, man, it recharged my batteries so that I could feel that I was a better person. And I was, it just made me stronger as a person and as an artist. So in a sense, I got more out of it than I put back in. So I'm very grateful to have the opportunity to be able to help.
Amazing. Now, let's talk about the highway. You had a stretch of highway 391 near your hometown of Lynn Lake in Manitoba named after you. That must have been an accolade that really hit home personally for you when the province of Manitoba gave you that phone call.
Well, it sure did. I mean, that's such a great honor. You know, and I tip my hat to a lot of the indigenous people that highway runs through their land, all the way from Thompson to the north and into the Lynn. And so I tip my hat to them and I honor them and I respect them. But it was a very great honor to go up there, and I hadn't been back to Loon Lake since I was a little boy. And so to see the town, part of it broke my heart because a lot of it was boarded up. A lot of it, and now I hear that they have discovered gold. They have figured that there are cost benefit ways to extract the gold. So they're going to be doing a bit more of that. So it won't be just, you know, had become a town of a lot of fishing and hunting lodges, and had become kind of run down in places, but the resilience of the people up there is amazing. And it goes all the way back to the stories my mom and dad told me, and some of the Super 8 movies my dad showed me, of them moving the town from Sheridan, Manitoba, over ice and snow, with the church leading the way and the general store next, and then all these houses over Bombardier snow train, 250 miles north from Sheridan, which became a ghost town overnight, and Loon Lake was born. And there's such a sense of pride that has lasted since I was just a little kid, little baby in that town. And it was amazing to go back and to be part of that and see that the people were so resilient and still trying to make that town work in spite of the fact that they had run on economic hard times. I went and saw the old house that I was born in. Yeah, and it actually was one of the best kept houses in the town. It was owned by the mining company, and they actually miners and people that come up there to work in that house. So it was good to see that. It was so very, very strange seeing that. But, you know, I met a bunch of kids that I thought were kids. I thought they were the hockey team, the local town hockey team. Everybody was so young. And then I found out, and they came, "Oh, Mr. Carter, it's great to meet you." And we're shaking hands, and we're chatting. And then I discovered that these are all geologists. I mean, they were all geologists. So some of them were PhDs in that. It was amazing. And there was three or four gals that worked with them as well, and they were PhDs, and they were trying to figure out whether they could extract the gold out. And they felt so attached to the town and the townspeople. They had that attitude that we got to make this work. We got to make this. I mean, even they were drawn into the spirit of Loon Lake. So that. You know, and Loon Lake kind of typifies a lot of northern Canadian communities, that people pull together, they hang together, they live together, they support each other, they depend on each other for their survival, and that sort of helps define who we are as Canadians. So I'm very, very proud of my heritage in that town, and proud that they named that highway after me, and the song "Life is a Highway," going up to the Loon from Thompson.
Thanks for sharing that amazing story. Like, my family's from Poplar River, Manitoba, First Nations originally, and I've spent time in the Paw. I have friends that have been up in northern Manitoba, and to hear some of that history about the move and everything like that is like some of that Canadian small town history that gets forgotten. So thanks for sharing that.
You're right.
Yeah.
You're right,
Bill. And you know, I feel fortunate that, you know, my late mom, she graced me with her record collection as a kid. So I grew up listening to all the Red Rider, and then of course all the later Tom Cochran stuff. And you know, some of my favorite stuff, Boy Inside the Man, Good Times, all of these songs. What are some of your favorite, if you had to pick a favorite Tom Cochran tune, and you know, maybe not even something that was charting, what would you say is your favorite Tom Cochran tune that he wrote?
Well, you know, Bill, it's hard because that changes from day to day sometimes. I mean, there's so many songs, right, that I feel very privileged to have written. I really love the Neruda album, so Napoleon Sheds a Skin, mm-hmm. Human Race, some of those tunes, that whole suite of songs off the First Side, Can't Turn Back as well. And Billy and I are going to be going up doing the duo show, and we get to go into some of those deep tracks and explore some of those deep tracks, Walking the Fine Line, you know, Napoleon Sheds the Skin, nice, as yeah. I mentioned, and then also some of the newer stuff like Can't Stay Here, and maybe we're going to explore a little bit of that when we get to Edmonton as well with the band. I'd say some of those. Sometimes it's some of the deep tracks, and it does evolve and change. I'd say Big League though has to be right up there, because I've always said and insisted that great songs are written from your heart, from what you know, from your experiences, and hopefully it taps into your homeland. And what taps into that more than Big League? A song about a boy and his dad, and it could be about a boy and his mom, or mom and daughter now, because a lot of girls are playing hockey and that. But in this particular instance, a true story about a boy and his dad, and the dreams that the sport of hockey embodies, and the opportunities, and the hope, and the vision, and all those things that encompass that kind of pulls our country together from one small town, small mm-hmm. community to the other. And that song resonates for people all over the world. I know that the guy that started my website, he was English. He was from Manchester, and he was a soccer player, and his dad had him out playing soccer and would drive him to soccer practices and games and that. And he related the song to that. So here's a song that was written from a Canadian perspective, and about a Canadian experience and a Canadian story in the case of Big League that other people could relate to in other countries. And to me, that's what writing, you know, any good art is about, whether you're writing a book, whether it's a painting, whether it's a song. It's writing about your experience in your home and how that maybe resonates with people in other places as well. Because we all, as human beings, draw from the same palette, you know, the same palette of colors in life, you know. And we all love, we all have anger, we all have disappointments, we all tend to have regrets in that. And it's a very, the palette that we draw from is very similar from one place to another. But we also have our distinct experiences of growing up, and the experiences of being Canadian, and how a sport like hockey draws us together from one end of the country to the other. And that's really important that was written about, and I feel very blessed to be the guy that wrote about it.
And then, you know, you fast forward, you know, that song is, like you said, resonated with every Canadian. It was pretty much almost as much as Stomp a Tom hockey song, right? And then you fast forward to 2018 and the tragedy at Humboldt. And what was the first song that came to everybody's mind? For me, it was definitely Big League, right?
Yeah. I changed that verse. I still have last time I played Edmonton, as a matter of fact, a woman ran up to the stage just as I was introducing Big League, and her son was Tobin, number 30. He was the goalie for the team, and she ran up and she gave me this wristband, and I wear it to this day, and I swore to her that I would never take it off until it falls off. Humboldt Strong, of course. And yeah. This is Tobin, number 30, and there's a couple of hearts there and some hockey sticks and the puck. Mm-hmm. And I get choked up talking about it. Mm-hmm. I'll never change that third verse now. I've changed it to suit that incident and what happened and the immortality of those kids and the families. And I will never change it. And I was approached by James Duffy, who I love James. He's a great man, a great broadcaster. And he called me and he said, "Tom, you know, we'd like you to play. Can you come in tomorrow morning, 6 in the morning, and on, you know, Sportsnet, the other station, the other sports station, and perform Big League?" And I said, "James, that's not appropriate. I haven't talked to any of the families, and I don't want to be, you know, jumping on this thing when it's such a tragic, fresh memory for everybody." And he said, "Well, we've been on the ground there, and we have talked to people, and they'd like you to do it." So I went in and that morning, and I performed it, and I changed that verse in the shower before I went down there. 5 in the morning, I wrote that third verse. You know, all the right moves when he turned 18, mm-hmm. riding to the game, riding with his team, riding with his friends, or riding with their dreams, riding off to immortality in the big leagues. Yeah. And I'll never change that verse. And I wrote that in 2 minutes in the shower before I went in. And when I performed that song, even the text, like, I had a hard time. I broke down a couple of times. And then we nailed the third time, but even the techs were reverential and had tears in their eyes about that situation. So you're right, and that embodies what I was saying about how that sport pulls our country together, because it not only pulled our country together, but we had so many people that the outreach from America and other places was immense, and it was amazing, and it showed that everybody related to that. They could relate to their kids going places on a bus, on an outing, or going to a sports event, and this happening, and it touched a lot of people.
Yeah, it's making me emotional just listening to you talk about it too. So thanks for sharing the story of coming up with the third verse. And but these songs, you know, like we're talking about Napoleon Sheds His Skin, we're talking about Life Is a Highway. When these song ideas hit you, do the best ones tend to, you know, come out pretty fast, or are some of them a little bit of a slow trickle or long pieces of work that you might come back to and revisit?
Well, I tell you, Bill, there's never a strict formula, but I do find the best songs are born. So in other words, they just happen, and they happen pretty quick. Sometimes they're painful when they happen, but they happen. And sometimes there's a story that percolates for a long time. Big League was like that. I wrote that song in about 20 minutes. Kenny and I had rented a house in Mississauga to do pre-production for the album. And I had one room with just a mattress and like a tape recorder. And I used to meditate up there, my acoustic guitar, and I used to meditate up there and come out of meditation and then sit down and start strumming and whatever. And one day I was in a very deep meditation. I'd been told this story by the dad quite a few months prior to that. And I had meditated on this, and I came out of it, and I picked up the guitar, and the whole song just evolved right then and there. But the whole idea had percolated. And I, you know, when I met the dad, and he said to me, you know, my son was a big fan of Boy Inside the Man. I said, well, is he coming to the show? And he said, no, he died in a car accident. Well, it hit me like a ton of bricks. And I knew right then I'd end up writing about it. And I did. And that's how it came out. Once it was ready, it came out very, very quick.
Once again, chatting with legendary rocker Tom Cochran, coming to town November 11th in support of Farm Fair International alongside Trooper and Sass Jordan. I'll throw all the info up in my blog. Thanks again, Tom, for your time, your involvement, and support in so many areas, and especially for the soundtrack to the lives of so many of us across the country.
Billy, it's such a pleasure, man. I look forward to seeing you when we get to Edmonton.